time you can't hear me, you know, I'm getting older, my voice is getting weaker, raise your hand. That may not work either because my eyesight's going too. So that's just storms in my life. But let me bid you welcome, welcome, welcome. I know we have company with us, so appreciate your attendance very, very much. Always, always good to get together. So appreciate your desire to assemble together as God's people for a time of fellowship and friendship, but especially getting our devotion to God. I ask my brethren to look around and be sure that everyone has a bulletin. There's an outline of this morning's lesson inside, so please take a quick look and share. If someone did not receive a bulletin, you're very welcome to get up and go get one. That won't bother me. Just don't keep going out. You'll come back in. But the title of our lesson this morning is Sudden Storms in Life. Sudden Storms in Life. Brought a little introductory text from the Old Testament. For the wise man said in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 25, be not afraid of sudden fear. Different translations might say sudden terror, or sudden trouble, or sudden storms. Don't be afraid of those. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Be not afraid of sudden storms. All of us have experienced storms in life. There's not anyone that's exempt. We can all raise our hand. If we said anybody had a storm in life, we'd say yes, certainly. I get a sudden storm when I get my taxes done. Why, oh, how much? Well, I wasn't expecting that. I take my car for an oil change. I'm expecting $29.39, and he said, oh, Mr. Anderson, you've got this other thing that needs to be wrong. I said, oh, that's a sudden storm. But you think about the people who are experiencing job loss right now, or serious illness, loss of a family member. Sudden storm just came into my life. We have phrases to kind of lessen our storm. Sometimes when trouble comes, we say, oh, like, sigh to ourselves, and oh, when it rains, it pours. Then we live by Murphy's Law. It says, if anything can go wrong, it will. Then the corollary to that, and it goes wrong at the worst possible moment. Oh, no. Here's the story again in the life of Jesus and the disciples. Mark chapter 4, beginning of verse 1, he began to teach by the seaside. That was customary. Gathered to him a great multitude. Like there were so many that were gathered around the Jesus to kind of make a place for him to start teaching. He entered into a ship that sat in the sea. And a whole multitude was on the land by the sea. Then in verse 35, it says, that same day when the evening was come, he said, let's pass over to the other side. Day is done. Let's cross over. Well, when they sent away the multitude, Jesus is in the ship. There are a few other ships along with him. There arose a great storm of wind. Oh, didn't expect that. I wouldn't have gone out to sea or tried to cross over if I'd seen the clouds. Or if there was a tempest brewing, we'd have stayed right here, lowered the anchor. But all the waves began to beat into the ship, and it was now full. Jesus was in the hindered part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. They awoke him and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Care. He arose, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And then he said to the disciples, why are you so fearful? And how is it that you don't have any faith? Been with me this long. They feared exceedingly one another, what manner of man is this? Even the wind and the sea obey his voice. Then it says they came over to the other side of the sea. Five things I need to hurry. Looking at the time already. I don't want you to think, oh, we have a sudden storm. Brian's going to go long today. But there's just five things I want to call your attention to from the story that we just read. Number one, the probability of storms in our life. Yeah, hands go up. We have storms. When you look at this, it seemed like the elements were there for what we call a perfect storm. Jesus is tired from teaching the full day. You know, it says in verse 2, he taught them many things by parables. And then not only that, but the disciples are tired because they've been listening to Jesus all day. And maybe they had trouble understanding some of the teachings of the parables. Can you imagine listening to me all day? Talking about a sudden storm. All day, teaching and listening. It's nighttime. If it was me, my eyes are drooping at 7:30 or 8 o'clock. Now, and then in the evening would come, all day of teaching, all day of listening. Jesus is going, let's go to the other side. You want to take a boat ride now? So as he decides to cross the sea, there's trouble with that, no doubt too. And sure enough, they get into the boat, get out into the sea. Verse 37, a great storm arises, and the waves begin to fill the ship. Oh, trouble. Sudden storm, hurricane status. Not a light drizzle. The water's in the ship. And for these disciples and for us, we've experienced storms before and overcome them. But what are we going to do when the big one comes? When the water's coming in, it's not just big waves on the outside rocking our boat, they're in our life. Yes, number one, all of us experience the presence of storms. But number two, there's the probability of storms in Naples. But number two, we have the presence in the storms in our life. When we're in the midst of a storm, we many times ask, and I've heard people even say this, where's God in all of this? Of course, the answer is he's in the boat with us. That's in the story. See, these disciples were learning a lesson that you and I need to learn too. See, we can find ourselves following Jesus and still be in the midst of a storm. Do you know that? Disciples are probably thinking, you know, Jesus, we left all to follow you, and you led us right into a storm. I expected an easier road than that. Jesus, I'm on your side. Shouldn't things be a little more comfortable? What we say. Some people believe that faith is some kind of insurance against storms. They shouldn't happen because I'm a person of faith. Shouldn't be any trouble here. But in the story, Jesus said, let's go, and they did, and sure enough, a great storm arose. You see, brethren, storms are not punishment for lack of obedience. Oftentimes, they're the result of obedience. And I'm not saying that to discourage you in following Jesus, because there's help available when you follow the Master. You have His presence to calm the storm. And so that's what happened. Verse 38, Jesus is in the stern. He's asleep on the pillow, but they wake Him up. Master, do you care? Don't you care that we perish? Or you care not that we perish? Of course he cares. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your care on him, all the care that I have. You know, just take that fucking here, Lord. Yeah. Because he cares for us. You see, we have security as a Christian. And there's a comfort in that. Because with Jesus by my side, I dare to be obedient. I'm not afraid to launch out into the deep. I'm not afraid to go where he's asking me to go. Because of his presence, I can come before him and I can say, send and I'll go. Command and I'll obey. If you speak, I'll listen. Because he's there. You know, think about it, even in physical life, just in everyday living. We dare to go do certain things. We go about the business of life. And think about it this way. You know why I'm not afraid to make a trip across the state or across the county or whatever? Because we have the presence of, I have my AAA road card. I have 911 on my phone. I have EMTs, we have rescue wagons, we have police and fire and hospitals and lifeguards and urgent care, all of these things, so I'm not afraid to launch out in life. There's a presence here. So same thing on the spiritual side, dare to obey because we have the presence of Jesus in our life. Even when the storms are raging. Number three, there's a peace in the storms of our life. In verse 39, Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and the sea. Says, peace. Be still. The wind ceased. And there was a great calm. On this occasion, the storm ceased. But I know you're already thinking, Brian, what if the storm doesn't cease? I believe, and I know Jesus is with me. This is the big one, Brian. It's lasting a little longer than I thought. It's more than I expected. Mm. Jesus said, and I put this in your notes in John 16, verse 33. Jesus said, the things that I've spoken to you, let me listen. Things that he's spoken to us. That in me you might have peace. In the world you have tribulation. That's right. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Now I'm on your side, God. I want that presence right here so that I can take place in my life. The peace. The present display of power by Jesus on this occasion should have taken away all the doubt in the life of the disciples who are in that boat. When Jesus said, peace, be still, and everything happened exactly as Jesus said, there should have been a peace. They followed Jesus for years. See, God often uses storms in your life and mine, just as he did in the lives of his disciples, to show us that we can trust him. And that's where our trust should be. As much as I trust, 911 and my roadside service. My deeper trust and faith is in God. Hasn't God brought us safely thus far? Hasn't God answered our prayers in the past? See, when we're in the storm, we may wonder if God's asleep. And we may wonder if God is absent. We may wonder if God doesn't care. But that's on us. God see, I see a little something more in this, and that is that Jesus uses the storm to get the disciples' attention to teach them a lesson. We're not short of storms in our life. Put your notes, we're either heading into one, we're in one, or we're just emerging out of one. David learned this in Psalm 119, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. See, there's a purpose in storms. In verse 71 of Psalm 119, David said, it's good for me that I've been afflicted, really. Good for me that I've been had some storms in my life. But then he says that I may learn your statutes. You see, storms remind us of our own inability. I can't get through them by myself. Storms in life tell me that I can't control every situation that comes about. Storms tell me and storms teach me that I need to put my dependence upon Him. Where am I going to run? Who will I call? And then Jesus said in verse 40, why are you fearful? That's right. And he just calmed the sea. Why are you fearful? How is it that you have no faith? They feared exceedingly. They said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey his voice? It seemed like Jesus was gentler on the disciples than he was on the sea or in the storm. He rebuked the storm, but he still... Disciples, come closer. I want to teach you a lesson. And it gives a brief lesson on faith, taking away fear. What are you afraid of in life? What storm are you going through? Do you think you can't conquer? Where's our trust when we're in the midst of a storm? What interests me in this story, too, is in verse 41. Verses 40 and 41, where it says, they feared exceedingly. It was after the storm stopped. The storm is over. And they feared exceedingly, but the definition of fear, I think it's an expression of awe on their part. In other words, there's a wow factor. Look what this man just did. There's a reverent and respectful fear of the power of Jesus in this situation. In this boat-shaped classroom, they realize that Jesus is greater and Jesus is more fearsome than the wind and the waves, than the storm that was crashing in on them. Yeah. So from this point on, they may be thinking, you know, I'm not afraid of drowning because he created the Sea of Galilee. He has power over the sea and the storm when it comes. I'm not afraid of the storm. Then the last one, number 5, the promises for the storms in your life and mine. I take you back to the beginning of the story. In verse 35, how does the story begin? Jesus said, let's pass over. Okay. That means we're going to arrive on the other side. Safely. The disciples didn't know what would happen. They might have thought, this is going to be a comfortable ride. They may have thought, it might be a little bit of trouble. You don't spend all day. And I know that. And I know how the wind comes up. But Jesus said, let's go to the other side. So they get into the boat. It's really no difference for you and me. The days ahead are uncertain. I don't know what's going to happen this afternoon or tomorrow. I don't know their content. I don't know the count of the days that I have ahead. But I know the destination. With Jesus on my side, I'm going to arrive safely on the other side. Jesus said it this way in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. That's right. Let your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Yeah. Believe in me also. See, in my Father's house are many not so. I would have told you. So I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You see, Jesus has already told us, Brian, let's go to the other side. And if Jesus said that's the destination, I believe it, and I'm going with him. I'm getting in the boat. Just a couple of the things. I didn't put these in your notes. Maybe the verses at the end of your outline. See, and what I've learned from this story is that God's word, number one, assures me of a safe landing. And of assurance, we even sing, blessed assurance. Number two, I know that God's word alerts me to expect some storms in my life, maybe even a big one. Remember the story of the wise and the foolish man? Both build houses and storms blew on both their houses. But the house that built on the rock that stood weathered the storm. Number three, I think God's word announces that the Savior, Jesus, is on board. At the end of the Great Commission, when he sends his disciples into all the world, I'm with you always, even to the end. Yeah. And ever present. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Storms will find us, but the Savior's on board. In Psalm 46, verse 1, God's our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Yeah. And then it's interesting, the rest of the verse. Even though the earth be removed, the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, well, that's a big trouble. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake and are swelling, yeah, that's a big trouble. I'm not going to fear. He's my help and my strength in time of need. And then the last one, God's word affirms that faith drives out fear. In Psalm 56, verse 3, David said, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Right? Where am I going to go? I want that AAA card. I'm going to trust in you. Isaiah 12, verse 2, I will trust and not be afraid. Wow. So the opening verse in Proverbs at the top of your notes, be not afraid of sudden fear. Easier said than done. But we try to give these words of encouragement that Jesus gave to the disciples in the midst of a storm. Yeah. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. Maybe one here is not a member of the New Testament church. You're not a Christian. You haven't been born again by being baptized for remission of sin. We offer you a simple procedure, if you will, or steps in becoming a Christian. These are listed on the back of your bulletin also. But a very simple plan or ingredient, if you will. Number one, you need to hear the word of God. Jesus said that in Matthew 11, verse 30. Come unto me, learn of me. Need to hear that good news message. Then second, you'll need to believe it. Jesus said to himself in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. I want to believe. Tell me what to believe. Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please him. We that come to God must believe. Believe that he is, and that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. Number three, once you've heard and believed the gospel message, the good news message, then you'll want to repent of your sins, turn your life around. Jesus said it in Luke chapter 13, verse 3. Except you repent, you'll perish. Then number four, you'll want to confess your faith, that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what the Ethiopian did when Philip preached unto him Jesus in Acts chapter 8. Philip is preaching a Jesus message, and the Ethiopian says, here's water, anything hindering me from being baptized? And Philip said, well, if you believe, you may. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what he confessed. And then Philip says, number five, stop the chariot. I mean, when down into the water, and Philip, both Philip and the Ethiopian, Philip baptized him. He came up out of the water and went on his way rejoicing. Salvation is always been.